Thank you all. You may be seated. Wow, yeah. First of all, this mic feels a little bit heavier now that I'm up here being the one giving the word. But first of all, thank you all. Thank you, Kyle, for giving me the opportunity to speak and to be able to be a part of a house where we do call people to step out into their calling. One of the things that when my wife and I first got married and were looking for a church here in Savannah that made Relentless different is that it very much gave opportunities for people. There wasn't a roadblock to that. If you want to be a membership, show up next week, you're a member, you know? And coming from a background, I grew up in church, there's a lot of classes, there's a lot of things like that. Usually for something like this, I would need a lot more, a couple years of preparation and things like that versus an opportunity, which I'm going to get to. Tonight is actually a very personal message. You guys will learn more about me, more about my history, and what kind of brought me to this point. And hopefully it's something that y'all can grab something out of. But first of all, like Kyle said, a lot of y'all don't know me. I'd spend a lot of time back behind that drum kit making a lot of noise. If you heard me extra loud tonight, it's because I was a little extra nervous, needed to work out some of the extra things. So hitting those cymbals actually kind of helped a lot. Between that and being back behind doing the video stuff, it's something that makes me feel comfortable. I've always been somebody that's been more comfortable in the background. I'm not somebody that you'll find standing up here often. I don't like these lights. I'm usually behind them, pointing them, people, interviewing people for video projects or things like that. So you may be asking yourself why I am up here. And the thing is that I actually said the same thing myself when this opportunity came up. This is something that has been a calling on my life ever since I was very little, and I ran away from. It was something that I did not want to do. It was a call that I did not want to answer, but honestly, the more and more I grew in my faith with God, especially the last couple weeks, last couple years, as I'll get to, it became undeniable that this is something that God wanted me to do. And so the thing is that I've always felt unqualified. And has anyone else here ever felt unqualified for something? Yeah. There's a popular term nowadays, it's called imposter syndrome, where, you know, you very much feel like you're in a spot that you don't really belong. You know, a lot of times that could be in our job, you know, all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, I'm in charge. Some of us wish that our bosses had imposter syndrome because we're like, how in the world did they get that position? But it's a very common thing nowadays, and this is something that I very much had. I was like, why me? And we'll get into that. And but I can confidently say standing up here that I am saying yes to a call in my life that I felt unqualified to. But I found my qualifications in the Lord. And so I'm going to start off before we get into the next section with some prayer. And let's go for it. God, I thank you for the opportunity to come up here and speak your word. I have served in many capacities, but this is the first one using my mouth and not my arms and my legs for hitting the drums. I've spent a lot of work in preparation for this, but God, I pray that if what I wrote was not what you want to say, that you just erase it from my memory, that you speak through me. I am your vessel. I completely give you everything. Take over, God. Amen. All right. So, excuse me as I occasionally reference my notes. I was telling Kyle that if the things that came against me this week are any evidence of what God's going to do through me tonight, you're in for something pretty special. So I have never been what you would consider a strong man. As a kid, I only ever won two athletic-style awards in my life, and one was the Rudy Award for never giving up. And the other one was in basketball, I won the most Christ-like award because I didn't give up after not making a basket in an entire season. So if that tells you anything about me, I never athletically, eventually I just gave up, and that's when I started getting into all this stuff and whatever, kind of found my comfort in that. But you can imagine what that does to a kid's self-esteem. Growing up, I still to this day, it's one of the things I struggle with is confidence in myself and the things that I do, and it's something that I'm constantly working with the Lord on, but you can imagine that growing up, that was something that really affected me. It was something I got used to being in the background and not paying attention. But with that, you know, I grew up in church, as I said, went to, and at the time it was one of the mega churches, but my dad was actually on the board of elders. He was very well known in the church. And being my dad's son, I was very much prophesied over by other people. Everyone was like, oh man, that Ryan kid, Mike's son is going to be a great preacher one day. I remember being in Sunday school and they would always ask me to pray because they loved my prayers. But it was always something said over me and something that I was like, what are you telling me what I'm going to be? I'm going to make my own path. I'm going to do my own thing. But what is it about youth that makes us, when someone tells us what to do, that we just run in the complete opposite direction? I don't know if anyone else has ever done that before, but that was something that for me, I looked back and was like, you know what? That was kind of odd there. So with that, I look back now and I'm like, oh, that's definitely pride. It was something that, you know, I was very prideful. I wanted to chart my own path. And at the time, I thought it was more of people telling me and having control over me. And then I realized, I was like, this was just an early version of prophecy. Church didn't believe in spiritual gifts at the time. But I look at that now and I'm like, wait a second. People were actually, oh, you're going to be a preacher one day. And here I am. So that's pretty cool to see how that ended up working. So to continue on, this first section is going to get a little bit of backstory. So, and we'll get into the meat and potatoes here shortly. But so I went to college. I went to a Bible college in Virginia called Liberty University. Some of y'all might have heard it, some of you may not. But I studied video production there, but I did get involved in some leadership. You know, I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm okay doing a little bit of leadership things. I might, you know, I was on the spiritual leadership team, so I was a prayer leader. I had a little small group and whatever. But there, it was one of those things where it was one of those It was one of those things where it was really easy to be in leadership there and to kind of be in the background still. Everybody there was going to be a pastor. Most of them were in seminary. So it was really easy to be like, hey, like, I'm on leadership, but if you want to talk, like, you know, if I don't want someone else to talk, then that was very easy to get away with. But never really wanted to be out in front of anything. But then that was kind of when I started feeling called to be in some form of leadership. So that brings us to our first verse, Exodus 4, 10 through 13. Oh, that's small up there. usually I'm not up here. So before I read this, this is when I was preparing for this, I was trying to find a story that kind of really, you know, I'm not, by no means I'm saying I'm Moses. Don't take that away from that. I am not Moses. But I felt a lot like Moses. There's like four different passages where God's like, hey, Moses, you're going to go and speak to Pharaoh and be responsible for leading the slaves out of Egypt. He's like, no, not me. Please, anyone but me. But in Exodus 4, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. Sounds like somebody else I know. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear, see or do not see. Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded, this is the important part, but please, Lord, please, send anyone else. Wow, yeah, that was me. So I very much defaulted to, hey, God, you please use anybody else. Has anyone else really? I'm seeing lots of nodded heads. So this is a common thing. Just going to sit there for a second. But the thing is it's really easy to say, God, please send someone else and be disobedient and just kind of sit back. It's like, and not realize that it's true fear. We are called to actually be fearful of the Lord. The Lord says, you know, to fear him. And what that means is it doesn't mean let's be scared of him, but let's give him honor. Let's give him the glory that's due. And when I was sitting here thinking about this, I was like, if we truly fear the Lord, how can we fear anything else? Because the Lord is constantly with us. If we're scared of that and we're, you know, we know the Lord's in our corner. I was actually, I won't go into the full thing here, but I was like, I imagine like God's like, I was like building a sermon illustration here, and I was like, you know what? It's like God's in our boxing ring corner. Like, how much more confident would you go and be in the ring and fight somebody, especially like, you know, that was like, you know, big or whatever, someone they were intimidated by. But I was like, no, it's the Lord that fights for us. He fights our battles. Little side tangent there. So hopefully that's okay. But fear was really the consistent thing in my life. It was something that I was afraid of leading people astray. It was something that intimidated me. I was like, well, what if I don't know? What if I misquote a verse? What if I take it out of context? It was something that I still had when I was preparing this. The amount of research I did for every verse, making sure I wasn't taking it out of context, looking at the Greek, making sure that each word meant what it was going to be said. But the thing is when I was in college and before, it was really easy to think that I was being humble. I, in leadership, was like, you know what? No, God. They can take the limelight. I don't need the limelight. I'm fine serving in the background. Which, you know, I mean, it can seem like a version of humility, but it was disobedience. It doesn't matter if you're being humble. God wants you to be obedient to his word, no matter what he's calling you to do. So false humility says, false humility says, God can't possibly do this through me. And true humility says, I can't do this without God. I'll say that again. So, because I also said it in the wrong order here. But true humility says, I can't do this without God. But false humility says, God can't possibly do this through me. And that's how I felt. I felt that I was a vessel in which God couldn't really speak. There was other things I felt strong in, but he can't really, you know, he can't really work through me in using his word, you know, in preaching or stepping up into leadership because of my weakness. But you asked me, okay, so you're standing up here. What's changed? I will say having a kid will really, really change you. And have a drastic impact on your life. My son turns 2 here in October, and which is amazing. And I absolutely love that boy. He's the best. He's actually sick tonight, so he and my wife couldn't make it. But I know you're watching, so thank you. Hey. But kids really make you rely on God. I know some people who have had some kids recently around here probably know the late nights and whatever, when you're having very deep relationships with God, like, please let them get to sleep. Come on, you know. But also what that did was that really made me reflect, who do I want to be for my son? What example do I want to set? Do I want to be the person that stays behind and doesn't step into God's calling and is comfortable? Or do I want to be the one that sets an example for having faith in God and stepping into my role as leadership? It's a lot like the example of Jesus and the Father. So that's an example. You know, we are supposed to emulate Jesus. And so, and he always is honoring the Father. So we need to go ahead and, sorry, I lost my spot here. But yeah, I lost my train of thought. I know. Kyle said I needed to pause more after my tithe message. So, you know. So there is my pause. So let me go ahead and restate that. So as I hope that my son looks to me, I look to Jesus. He's my example to look to the Father. So we need to be obedient and step into the calling. So this first section, I know I'm kind of stepping out. You see my sermon title, step in. Yeah, yeah. So that's the title there. So this is the step out part. But and I do want to say there is absolutely nothing wrong with serving in the ministries and the ways that I've laid out. I would say it was wrong for me to stay there. It's great to be able to serve and do that. I've done some amazing things through video, through drums. I love being back there every week. It is a privilege to be able to worship the Lord like that. But if it's my comfort zone, if it's not growing me spiritually, I need to be stepping out and doing that more, or doing other things as well. But for y'all, you know, I'm sure some of y'all here have never touched a camera before. Maybe that's your version of doing something a little bit, stepping up. Oh yeah, so he's serving in background is okay, but God calls us not just to be comfortable, but to be willing to do the things that outside of our comfort zone. There's a phrase that I like to say. It's a little bit of a joke. It's one of those things where, you know, I'll be driving with my friends. I would be doing this in college. And, you know, back before gas was $1,000 a gallon, I would always, you know, just do joyrides. People would be like, hey, where are you going to be driving? And I would say, wherever the wind would take us. Funny, because, you know, you're in a car. It's a little bit of a joke. And I was including that in the sermon just to, you know, whatever. But then I realized something. I'm like, you know what? Here at Relentless, the wind means something completely different. It means following the Holy Spirit and his guidance. And that's kind of become my little mantra through this, is that wherever the wind may take us. So this was when I started kind of realizing with having my boy, I was like, you know what? I really feel like I need to step up in leadership. So I started texting Kyle, actually. I reached out and I said, hey, you know, I'm feeling like God is calling me to step up and maybe say a couple things here and there. And so, you know, if you were here a couple weeks ago before the move, I actually had a little tithe message that I think, I mean, I guess I'm still up here. So I guess it went okay. That was the first step. And actually, before I even gave the tithe message, Kyle texted me and said, hey, do you want to preach? So, and that will be the next section. But before I close out the step up section, I just want to say that God has a ministry for every one of his sons and daughters. It's not necessarily this. It's not necessarily, you know, being on the worship team or anything like that. But everybody has a ministry that God is calling you to. What's yours? And how can you pursue it? What can you do? Ultimately, for stepping up, and it's about being obedient and just saying yes to your calling. The next section we'll get to how you go about that, but stepping up is about being obedient and saying yes to your calling. Is there something in your life that you feel unprepared or unqualified for? Something big, good. Follow that and say yes to opportunities you may have previously said no to. One of the hardest things about new opportunities is just saying yes. It's just doing the thing. So in my case, when Kyle approached me and said, hey, would you want to preach, especially because it was only 3 weeks away, as the kids would say, I said bet. That means I'll do it, for those that don't know that. People said I should keep that in my sermon, so there you go. So that was stepping up for me, was coming to the realization that this calling was on my life, and that, you know, there had been some words in the church as well, you know, between Kyle and some of the people in our prophetic team that said, hey, we're really feeling like you need to step up and you have something to say. And I was like, really? Okay. So I said yes. And I'm going to say that I asked for, I'm going to skip it a little bit ahead. I'll come back to this next section. But when I received that text message saying, hey, like, would you be open to preach? I very much was like, let me pray for it. This is a big ask. You know, I'm down to preach, but maybe in a couple months, give me plenty of time to be able to figure it out. But man, those 3 days that I took to pray, Spirit was just speaking to me. It was just one of those things where I was like, really? And I was like, yes. And it's like, this makes me afraid, God. And he's like, I'll be with you this whole time. You don't have to worry. I was like, I don't have a word. There isn't a sermon that I've already written that I'm going to preach. And he's like, I will give you that word. In fact, the sermon title, I told Kyle, I was here working on the live stream before we were about to move in. And I was just driving here. And then all of a sudden I pulled up to a stoplight and it was like, step up, step out, step in. That's what I want you to talk about. So part of this was figuring out what exactly that means and what God wanted me to preach for y'all. Sometimes you just gotta go wherever the wind takes you. But yeah, so college. So at Liberty, we had tons of different church services. We probably had like 6 or 7 different church services every week between our morning convocations, our Saturday nights, our Sunday mornings, our Wednesday nights. And so there have been many times where I've responded to calls to big ministry things. You know, in the moment I got very, you know, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go and do overseas missions. I'm going to step on leadership. I'm finally going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then a couple days later, I'm back to normal. It's one, you know, it's very easy to be around people that have all of these big callings. But the thing is that really made me afraid. So part of this, the step out, is a lot of times after you say yes, there's things that can become obstacles. There are mountains in your way. There are things that make you doubt your calling, what God wants you to do, and part of that is taking a leap of faith. And for me, what really made me afraid was looking dumb or looking wise while actually leading others astray, which I honestly, in my opinion, is worse. You know, I would rather look foolish to y'all up here than have y'all take something I say and do something that's outside of the will of God, 100%. But really, when you come down to these two things, looking dumb or looking wise while actually leading others astray, it all just comes down to a lack of faith. It's something that, you know, I didn't have faith that God would come through. You know, so but Moses actually has something about this as well. So let's go ahead and check back in with Moses, Exodus 3, 11 to 12. But Moses asked God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He answered, "I will certainly be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I am the one who sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God at this mountain." Do you guys know something about that passage? That the sign that it's God's will and that he's going to come through doesn't happen until after they do everything? I saw that. I was like, wait a second. Am I getting this right? That it comes after? And the amazing thing is, you know, spoiler for a 4,000-year-old story, but they end up, actually, that's where, you know, they come back to that spot, and that's where the Ten Commandments are given. So God does come through. He does completely follow through with that. But it took Moses going to Egypt, going in front of the leader of the world at the time and saying, "Hey, I'm going to take all the slaves, you need to free them. Also, your son's going to die, and you know, and then we're going to peace out of here." So that took a lot of faith for Moses, and God came through in the end. But yeah, sometimes the evidence of God comes after we already do the thing. So something to consider whenever you're being called to something. It doesn't necessarily, sometimes there are, you know, there is story fleeces where you can set up fleeces, but also sometimes God just wants you to take that step before you actually do something. The same thing happened in Joshua. I don't have the verse up there, but the story basically is, they were taking the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan River, and God called them to cross the Jordan and whatever. And I was like, thinking about this, I was like, you know what? Like, Joshua knew the story of Moses. I mean, he knew Moses, of course, but like, I bet you, like, you know, God calls them to go into the river before he parts the water there and lets them walk through on dry land. And I bet you they were making up to the riverbed and they're like, all right, split. But no, in this situation, God said, hey, like, you need to go ahead and, like, step in the water before I'm going to start doing that. And if you remember, handling the Ark of the Covenant was not a light task to do. If you messed it up, you die. So, like, imagine doing that inside a roaring river and then being like, all right, cool, we're going to stand here. And then, you know, but again, these priests actually took that leap of faith. They stepped in the water, and then God then did the miracle. So I am asking you, how can we step into the water in our lives? Do we need to text that family member? Do we need to forgive somebody? Do we need to forgive ourselves? Is it a conversation at work? Is it something that, you know, maybe starting an outreach ministry, or is it something where God's calling you to serve overseas somewhere in some capacity and do some missions? There's lots of things that could be the water in our lives that we need to step into. For me, that was reaching out to Kyle and saying that I felt called to preach. And so when Kyle asked me, we covered that. Went back in time there. But after I said yes, I believed and had faith that God was calling me to speak tonight. And that as long as I gave him my yes and came here, that the words would come and that he would speak through me. Even tonight. You know, there had been many times I went out there about 5:55, and my car looked really nice. I know it was 105 degrees, but I was like, you know what, man, it wouldn't be that bad. I was trying to print out my notes earlier, and my printer stopped working. I'm like, I guess I'm preaching with no notes and whatever. But I knew that God was calling me to speak, and that as long as I came up here and I gave him my yes, that one of y'all is going to get something out of this. And something that was actually a really good word that my wife said over me earlier was that even if that one person is me, if this is my thing that changes me, then it's still absolutely worth it. But God is calling all of us to step out into the unknown and accomplish great things for his glory, and absolutely loves to bring us along for the ride. It's one of his favorite things to do. It's like he loves bringing glory to himself and doing these great big things. But he loves taking these really weak people, and because it's even bigger than. Like, how many stories are there in the Bible like that? I mean, like David going up against Goliath. It's, you know, Gideon with his small little army. It's one of those things where, like, God, like, the bigger the difference he can make it, the better it is. Because it has to be him. Because in our eyes, it's, like, absolutely not possible. Another verse going into that actually is 1 Corinthians 1:27-31. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose those things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. And actually, something that just came to me. Maybe the reason that I was weak growing up is so that way he could show his strength through me. So what if I look foolish in man's eyes? As long as I'm obedient to him, that's all that matters. Think about other people that looked foolish in the Bible. I know we talked about weak people, but let's cover some foolish people. What about Joshua marching around Jericho? That was kind of weird. Or, you know, Peter stepping out of the boat. He had just witnessed the only person who's ever walked on water, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I can do it too. That was a very foolish thing in man's eyes, but ended up being an ultimate example of obedience to Jesus. So I guess the thing that I want to convey here for Step Out, and then we're going to go into Step In, is, okay, there might be something in your life that you know that you're called to, that you've said yes to, but the next step is a little bit intimidating. It's something big, good. And how can you step out into that? What little step that you can do, because it doesn't have to be a big step, it could be a little step, just one thing, just give it one thing to be able to go and step in that direction, and God will take you the rest of the way. So you're asking me, all right, so I've said yes, I've been obedient, I'm going to go ahead and step into my calling, but that thing is big. How do I do this? What am I going to do? And ultimately, the whole reason God does this, like I said, he likes to get glory through foolishness and weakness, is ultimately he wants deeper relationship with us, so that's what we do. We step into relationship with him whenever there's something that God's calling, something big God's calling us into. So one of the things, you know, in my story is that I said yes, I was going to be obedient. But the thing was, is like, I'll preach, but not right now. It seems like I said before, it was something where I was very much like, all right, cool, like I'll preach eventually. Every year it was a New Year's resolution that I had, like, oh, maybe this year I'll preach. But I need to meet with Kyle, I need to go ahead and do sermon prep, maybe I need to take some online classes, maybe I need to do a certification, something like that. So I was just like, but that's not now. That's going to be an eventual thing that I look into. But not now is a very dangerous mentality to have. It's still full-on disobedience. I'm sure there's a lot of us right now that in our lives there's a not now that we might need to go ahead and just say, okay, we're going to go ahead and go forward with that. So for me, a little bit like Randy, my relationship with the Father before this journey of preaching kind of had stagnated. It was something where, you know, I would pray and I would, you know, read my Bible occasionally and try to get in the Word. You know, I'd, you know, maybe listen to a little bit of worship music on the way into work. I'd work downtown, so that drive's never fun. But when after I gave my yes, I felt the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Like, things completely changed because I had to get in deeper relationship with Him. I was going to be preaching in 3 weeks. You know, nothing will make you read your Bible more than knowing that you're going to go in front of people, you know, and especially people that actually tend to know their scripture and all, you know. I can't come up here and preach from 14 Thessalonians 74, and they're like, oh, okay, you know, like, you guys actually know that, know your word. So, you know, it was intimidating. And so I spent a lot of time in prayer. I spent a lot of time worshiping God, and not just speaking words in prayer, but like having an attitude of prayer, just turning off the phone, turning off the music, and just God, speak to me. Lord, whatever you want to say through me, go ahead and do that. And so I called out to the Lord and he answered. God loves partnering with us and giving him glory. And in my case, it's not nearly as impressive having the best motivational speaker come up here and give you a word. I'm sure it's great. You guys, we've had some fantastic guest speaker, but You know, he loves using the drummer, the guy that sits back there that, you know, sometimes people don't even think that there's somebody back there sometimes, you know. So it's one of those things for him that's very much like something that he would like to do. And so your big doesn't have to necessarily be life-altering either. It's something that your big could be, like I said, it could be a text message, it could be a phone call, it could be something that you just need to take a small direction in order to do. There are plenty of opportunities here at Relentless for you to do your big. Is it our kids? And I know you guys probably, maybe you're not comfortable, super comfortable around kids, and maybe it's time for you to step up and do a, and teach the kids. And you could completely grow in that. Side note, sidebar, we're fine. Kyle would only be like 2 pages in at this point. a good example of this is I had a really good friend right before I moved to Savannah who I guess the best way to kind of describe him was he was like a college bro type, like a fraternity guy. But he ended up coming to our small group for something, and at first it was exactly what he expected. Nothing super, you know, super anything fancy. He, you know, barely knew anything scripture, but as time went on, he grew deeper and deeper, and then eventually it was the most random thing. It decided to sign up to teach the kids at the church. And then he thrived. The kids loved him, absolutely did that. And then you know what the Lord was preparing him for was not that long afterwards, he met a single mom who had a daughter and then ended up becoming, honestly, I would say one of the best dads I know. At his wedding, he actually had separate vows for his daughter and for his wife. So that's how God can use this process in order to completely radically change your life. It just maybe say like, hey, like I'm not comfortable, but I'm going to say yes to this and then grow in that. And then God completely takes you in a completely different direction. So amazing. So you might think you're weak. You might think that you're scared. You might think that you're not prepared for this. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:3-5, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Feels like a lot me right now. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. There was a lot of relying on God tonight for me. But I know that God was showing his faithfulness through me, through my weakness and his strength. In 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Nothing has changed in my story. I still feel unqualified to be up here. But I've learned that's not about me and that I get my qualification from the Lord, who is the ultimate authority. And that's what I've experienced these last couple weeks. After I finally stopped being afraid, I felt such strong presence with the Lord. Even tonight, I told you all that at 5:55, I was thinking about running. But during worship, I just felt like you've got this. This is something that you're ready for. This is something that I've prepared you for, and you're going to stand up there, and I will speak through you. I was praying back there. I was like, God, use your words. So that was my experience. Oh wait, yep, that's what I've experienced the last couple weeks. After I finally stopped being afraid, I felt such strong presence. And as I've learned to leap, as I've learned to step out in faith, I've been rewarded with deeper relationships and trust that no matter what, God's going to be up here with me. So that's me. What about you? What's God calling you to say yes to? What's he calling you to step out into? And what's something that's like scary that only he can do through you that will also cause you to just dig into such deep relationship with him? God doesn't need you to be qualified. He asks you to be willing. And when you step out in obedience and step into relationship with him, he gets the glory and he lets you come along for the ride. So, in conclusion, step up, step out, step in. Amen.
So good. You know, when I first met Ryan 11 years ago, I remember they came to church, and it was one of those services that, like, if the weirdest thing could have happened, it happened at that service. And then afterwards, he was like, hey, you know, him and his wife, well, not wife at the time, but his wife now, we all went to lunch and talked, and so what do y'all have for, like, video and graphics? And what they were really asking, like, they knew the answer because the video and graphics were really bad at the time. And so they started serving in that and helping create a lot of the, well, really everything you see now that's a graphic or a video that they are in charge of. But going into Ryan's message, had he not said yes to videography at Liberty, he would have never been able to say, here's what I have to offer at Relentless. And then 11 years later, preaching a message. And I can't imagine what saying yes to preaching a message tonight, where it's going to take him over the next 11 years, amen? As he was teaching, I even remembered, a lot of you have heard the story about when we started Relentless, it was me and two other couples, five people in the living room. But some of the backstory of that that no one really hears much is that when I was given the vision to start Relentless Church, I didn't have the two other couples. It was just me. It was like, I know I'm called to start this. I'm not sure who's supposed to do this with me, but I know I'm supposed to do it. And then when I started walking in that and writing down the vision and talking about it, people started coming. It's like, hey, we want to get involved with this. It always takes a step up, step out, and step in. And so for some of you, you did the step up, step out, step in tonight. Some of you, a lot of you came up here and said, I'm forgiving. I am leaving it here. I am walking forward. But some of you, as he was teaching, such a simple yet deep message, maybe something in you said, you know what? There's this one thing that I need to step up, step out, and step into. I want to encourage you, if you're feeling that tonight, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. We always ask things like, how do I hear the voice of God? If this is resonating in you, that resonance, that is the sound of the voice of God speaking to you. So don't ignore him. Say yes to him. Maybe it's a deeper commitment. Maybe it's a serving opportunity. Maybe you're realizing there is a ministry in me. Ministry doesn't have to be you got to get ordained to be a pastor to do church. Ministry is I have a ministry at my job. I have a ministry in my family. Maybe some of you, the step up, step out, and step in, I heard this very specifically, and I don't want you to take this as a manipulative thing, and I don't want you to think, if you think this is you, make sure you pray into it. But as I was sitting there, I heard very clearly to tell the people this. Some of the step up, step out, step in is you've been wanting a raise at work. Don't go ask your boss for a raise. Step up and ask your boss, how can you get one? And when he says do more, don't say I'm already doing it. Just start taking the advice and going. Not sure who that's for, but the step out is a simple question sometimes. How can I do this? What can I do? What can I bring? It's like the Lord says, when we give him a little, he can do much with what we give him. Amen? Amen. So step up, step out, step in.